It will be the church where you can serve and be a witness. And so our first subject on the list is, what is the church? And I think we all should just take pause to think a moment or two, maybe 30 moments or two, on what is the church? What is this all about? Well, there are some great analogies in the Bible about the church. Firstly, she is the bride of Christ. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I want to wish everyone a blessed new year. What a great opportunity and privilege to be serving the Lord another new year with all the opportunities to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus on this radio station. We're thankful for the open door. We're thankful for the liberties and the freedoms that God provides us in this land to proclaim the message of Christ Jesus to all who will hear His voice and His word. And so, welcome to the program, and I trust that you'll be a regular listener Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. here on this station as we let the Bible speak. And that is our name, that is our purpose, to proclaim the message of the gospel. And today our message is on, what is the church? This is a vital topic as we think of serving the Lord. Everyone needs to serve within the framework of God's church. And I trust that you can answer that question, that you will be moved today to consider serving Christ in His church for His glorious name. We have a number of quotes today from Charles Spurgeon on the nature of the church. And our hymn is going to be, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. Let's begin with prayer today on this first weekly program of the new year. Let's just ask the Lord to help us. Father, we lift up our eyes to Thee, the giver of every good and perfect gift. We pray Your blessing upon the ministry of Your word. We pray Your blessing upon the hearts of Your people. And we pray that this word will be a living word, a word of life, to bring liberty and blessing to those that need the Savior. And so we ask that You will provide and bless and be glorified in Your church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your bulletin and look at the front page. You'll see there the list of subjects that I have decided on, Lord willing, by God's grace, for the next Sundays. And I trust that these subjects, when handled with some care and with the Lord's help, that it will enable us all to know the Lord and to serve the Lord better. Really, this is a declaration of purpose. It is really stating what this church is about and what we as members and worshipers in this church are all about. We want to be effective Christians. I trust that that is the burden and the prayer of every heart here today. Lord, make me an effective Christian. Don't let my life just go to waste. And with the passing of another year and the opportunity of a new year, Lord, make this year to be fruitful and to be effective for the Lord. Now, I have chosen to deal with these on Sunday mornings to introduce to all really the great truths of the gospel. And those subjects, I think if we can handle them well and grasp them well, they will put us all on our feet to serve God. Now, as I think about it, I believe the greatest challenge of the church is to remain relevant. That means that the church has a voice in the nation, and we must know what we're about and why it is so important. I can't expect people to give up their Sundays and come to this house morning and evening if they do not have the worship of the Lord as their top priority. If that's not there, it's not going to happen. But when we understand the importance, the relevancy of what we're doing as a church, then I trust that it will be each one's priority. Now, I have no intention of reducing the time commitment. Some churches have gone that way to try and make the church relevant and make it work into people's lives. Well, they just reduce the time, drop a service here and there. And by that means, they think, well, you can fit this in. You can have more people under the same schedule and we can make it fit. Well, I think that's really an acknowledgement that the church is not top priority. And once we start whittling down the time commitment, then we're really saying that other things have first place and first priority. Now, I put it that way because really that's what you called on the Lord to do when you asked the Lord to save you. When you asked the Lord to save your soul, you were saying, Lord, the greatest need is that I be a Christian and be saved from hell and made ready for heaven. And then also in your baptism, when you were baptized, and this is what baptism's all about, I'm going to die to the old life, and I'm going to live in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. And this is now my public declaration that I am a committed Christian. And then when you join the church, when you become a member of the church, you're also saying, I am going to make my witness and my life be a pillar and a support to the witness of the gospel in this fellowship. Now, this new year is a gift to serve the Lord. Isn't it marvelous that we're still living? I ought not to be living. When I think of all the things that I have done and all the dangerous stuff that I've been involved in, growing up on a farm with all the chemicals, the DDT, do you remember that stuff? I just thought about that this week. We used to have little cups of that, and we used to pour it over the backs of the cattle and rub it in with our bare hands. And, of course, then the discovery was that DDT is a killer. I shouldn't be alive at all. I shouldn't even have health and strength. And yet, here we are, worshiping the living God, and we have an opportunity to serve Him. Now, I want to say that this is your church. At least I hope that's why you're here. It's your church. It's not my church. It is the place where God has called me to preach, but I can't preach without a congregation. It's your church. And it will be the church that will meet the need of your soul, I trust. It will be the church where you can serve and be a witness. And so our first subject on the list is, what is the church? And I think we all should just take pause to think a moment or two, maybe 30 moments or two, on what is the church? What is this all about? Well, there are some great analogies in the Bible about the church. Firstly, she is the bride of Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians 5 and to verse 22. I'd like to just read these few verses and remind ourselves of the church as the bride of the Lord Jesus. And I think in looking at this, we will see the value, the importance of the church to the Savior. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. And you'll see there in verse 27 that the Lord looks upon his bride as a glorious church. A glorious church. That means that the Lord receives glory through his church. The church is intended to bring honor, to exalt, to magnify the Lord in the earth. And that is the whole plan of redemption. That's why the Lord died on the cross, to purchase his bride, to gather out of the world a people who will be peculiar, who will sound forth his praises and bring great honor to the Lord. And the only reason for the church's existence is to bring glory to the Lord. And we must always be conscious of that in everything we do in the Lord's name under the banner of his church. Is this for God's glory? That's why we don't stoop to the worldly things. That's why we don't stoop to the programs of gimmickry. There are those ways that God has ordained that will bring much praise and honor to his name. And you'll see there here's an example of a wife who honors her husband. Her behavior, her ways in society, will either bring honor to her husband or bring shame to him. If she is a careless, frittering away her time, a useless, good-for-nothing woman, well, people say, what did he marry her for? What kind of a man? What was he thinking? And it'll be more pity for him than honor. Now, the Lord wants his bride to honor him, to so live, so walk, that she truly honors the Lord in every way. And of course, in heaven, there the bride will honor the Lord. They will sing, the church will sing, he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You'll notice there in verse 26, 27, that it's not just a glorious church, but a pure church. And it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. Did you know that the word church is the Greek word ecclesia, from what we get ecclesiastical? And it simply means called out. The church is a group of people called out. Called out of what? Well, called out of the world. Called out of the filth, the sin of the world. To live in purity, to be sanctified. And the church is the place where purity is insisted upon, becomes our testimony. It becomes the mark that we don't belong to the world. We come to God's house to worship because we want to be a people that are pure and free from the sin of this world. And the church ought to be a place that purifies, sanctifies, and calls God's people to greater purity, greater Christ-likeness, which will in turn bring greater honor to the Lord. The other thing we note in this passage of Christ's bride is that she is to be a submissive church. It says there in verse 21, and here's the apostle's argument, just as wives are to be submissive to their husbands, and I hope Kara's listening, that the church is to be submissive to the Lord. Marriage will not work with two heads. And Christianity does not work with two heads. There's only one head of the church, the Lord Jesus. He's King and King of Kings. He has all authority. And we take our cue from his word, his commands, his will. And we go to the head. And we seek his guidance. And we seek his blessing. A submissive church then will be a biblical church. A church that takes the Bible seriously. And we really do want to know the will of God. We want to know what is the will of the Lord for our hearts and lives. How to live as Christians, the bride of Christ. How to honor my husband, the Lord Jesus. Well, here is the manual. And so you will need a Bible-loving pastor. You will need a man in this pulpit who truly loves the book and desires to guide the church, God's people, to follow the Word of God. If you don't have that, get rid of him. Pray for another one, that God will genuinely lead his people into biblical truth. You also need elders who love the book and follow the word. And we need members. We need everyone under the headship of Christ to recognize who is head. That brings unity. That's what unifies the church. You think of all the diversity. I was reading Mr. Spurgeon just last night on some quotes on the church, and he talked, it's impossible to get 12 men with no separate opinions. My, how does the church function? Only when each one recognizes the headship of Christ, then the church functions. And so we need to be that submissive church. Now, the next area where we have an analogy of the church, and that is, she is the arena of redemption. I want to go back to Acts 20 and verse 24. And if I'm ever going to be guilty of going everywhere preaching the word, I'm going to do it this morning. But here in Acts 20 and verse 24, we see how the apostle himself and exhorted the elders at the church at Ephesus to emphasize salvation, the need for salvation. He says here in Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry, that's what we're talking about here. The word, the preaching, the communication of truth, the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to what?" What did he say? "To testify the gospel of the grace of God." And that is the function of the church. Her work is, her ministry is to testify the gospel, the good news, the saving power of the grace of God. And so it's a ministry of grace, not of guilt. Indeed, it is to be free from guilt. And it is to be a ministry that leads people into the liberty. Now down in verse 28, you'll see how that liberty is played out. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." There's redemption. Purchased. That's what redemption means. Purchased. What is it that purchases us? What is it that redeems us? It is the blood. And as we preach the blood and preach the atoning work of the Lord Jesus, this church becomes the arena of redemption. It is now the centerpiece where this good news is brought to the souls of men and women. Where else will you find it? Think of all the centers in Cloverdale. There's the recreation center. You'll not find that the arena of redemption. You might find an ice rink. But there's no redemption, there's no good news of the gospel. In fact, you would hardly be allowed to give out a gospel tract. There's the gym, there's all the other sports centers. Where is a place where the Holy Ghost takes his word and applies it to sinners and leads them to the faith and the cross? That's the ministry of the church. That's the arena of redemption. This is where it happens, where God saves sinners and leads them to faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, I really would need a separate sermon on this one. I'm not going to preach it all. But it's really because of the value of a soul. You see in verse 31 there how Paul, for 3 years, preached with tears. He preached with tears for 3 years. Would you pray that God would give me tears in my preaching? This month, Harold Paisley, Dr. Ian Paisley's brother, went home to heaven. I talked to his sister on the phone this week. I wanted just to extend my sympathy. Harold Paisley was with the Plymouth Brethren Gospel Halls. But I remember an elder in our church in Calgary telling me that at a gospel campaign that he conducted in the area of Calgary, that this elder went along and he sat in the meeting and he witnessed Harold Paisley preaching the gospel with the tears flowing down his cheeks. I said this to his brother-in-law that I talked to his sister and his brother-in-law this week on the phone. And he said, "Yes, Ian, there was a great softness about him. There was a softness in his preaching." I would ask you to pray that God gives me that. I think we're all too hard. We're hardened by many things. But when it comes to the souls of men and women, we need a passion, a love,
That's real, genuine. Now, tears, you can't fake them. I suppose actors do. I suppose they do. But in normal life, when you see somebody in tears, there's the mark of genuineness. And so we want to be, as Paul laid it out here, a church where people come and hear this glorious gospel. But they hear it not just with scolding, but with real gospel pleading, and where they will be drawn to trust the Savior. Now, this is very important, because if you look at verse 26, you'll notice where Paul recognized his responsibility, that he would give account. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am purer from the blood of all men. Now, he had preached for 3 years in that area of Ephesus. He was leaving. He was handing things over to these others. And he says, now, I'm free from the blood of all men. I have preached in a manner that was honest with the message of God and to warn men of their lost condition. And he is conscious that he would be held responsible for the souls of men, that their blood would be upon him if he was not a faithful preacher. In the church, we need faithful preaching. We need to recognize as a church, we're responsible for what visitors, men and women, hear when they come in and take their seat. We are responsible for what they hear. And our elders are responsible. And members are responsible. And if there's some other message preached from this pulpit, they're to stop it. We all will give account to God for the ministry of the church. Every one of us. And that's why we need to be in prayer. That's why we need to be much on our knees. That God not only gives us an external church, but gives us a ministry of love and faithfulness to the souls of men.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I have a few thoughts here from Mr. Spurgeon on the church. And he says, I recollect my mother saying to me, I prayed that you might be a Christian, but I never prayed that you might be a Baptist. But nevertheless, I became a Baptist, for I reminded her the Lord was able to do for her exceeding abundantly above what she asked or thought, and he did it. Church, the disdain of it. It may appear a trifle to make a saint the target of ridicule, but his Father in heaven does not think so. I know this,
that many patient men will bear a great deal, but if you strike their children, their blood is up, and they will not have it. A father will not stand by to see his child abused, and the great father above is as tender and fond as any other father. You have seen among birds and beasts that they will put forth all their strength for their young. A hen, naturally very timid, will fight for her little chicks with all the courage of a lion. Some of the smallest and least powerful animals become perfectly terrible when they are taking care of their offspring. And do you think that the everlasting God will bear to see his children maligned, slandered, and abused for their following of him? And again, one little thought. He says, I know there are some who say, well, I have given myself to the Lord, but I do not intend to give myself to any church. Now, why not? Because I can be a Christian without it. Are you quite clear about that? You can be as good a Christian by disobedience to your Lord's commands as by being obedient. There is a brick. What is it made for? To help build a house. It is of no use for that brick to tell you that it is just as good a brick while it is kicking around on the ground as it would be in the house. It is a good-for-nothing brick. So you rolling stone Christians, I do not believe that you are answering your purpose. You are living contrary to the life which Christ would have you live, and you are much to blame for the injury you do. My, these are tough words from Mr. Spurgeon. And one other, the purpose of a church. A church that does not exist to reclaim heathenism, to fight evil, to destroy error, to put down falsehood. A church that does not exist to take the side of the poor, to denounce injustice, and to hold up righteousness, is a church that has no right to be. Not for yourself, O church, do you exist, or any more than Christ existed for himself. Well, we'll leave it there, and may the Lord bless you and give you a heart to serve the Lord. And in this new year, may God lead you, guide you, bless you, keep you, and use you to bring glory to his great name. Thank you for joining with us on the program today. Stay tuned now for these final and closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope you have been blessed today through our ministry of the gospel. We have a wonderful Savior, and I invite you to trust in him as your Savior too. The Bible is very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Look it up in your Bible. Pray over that very verse for the wonderful promise of God's salvation. And I assure you, the Lord will save you. And if I can be of any personal help, or if I can send you a gospel booklet, encourage you and guide you, please send me an email to ltbsradio@gmail.com. When you email me, I can also sign you up to receive these programs each week as a podcast. My email again is ltbsradio@gmail.com. If you wish to write, send your letter to Let the Bible Speak, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. I trust that you will have a blessed week as you walk with the Lord and as you feed on his word. Remember that to abide in his word is the way to have the Lord abide in you.